חנוכה שמח. You're the first. Do you want to proceed or do you want to wait?
We'll wait. Thank you.
Hanukkah Sameach. So we will begin. We're in the Sulam commentary on the Zohar from Parashat Vayera, and we're starting tonight with Pasuk 4. Batar dechata kola istalak me'alma ve'itlatya ara ha'idikti arura ha'adama ba'avurecha v'gomer uktiv ki ta'avod et ha'adama lo tosef tet kocha lach v'gomer uktiv v'kots v'dar dar tatsmirach lach. The translation: after Adam sinned, everything disappeared from the world, and the earth was cursed, as it is written, "Cursed is the earth for your sake. When you till the ground, it shall not henceforth give its strength to you. And thorns also, and thistles it shall bring forth to you." My commentary: there is a point in the process where things change. This point is part of the creative process. This would imply that Adam and you do not have free choice. What is the truth? Can you accept the answer as both? Questions, comments, thoughts.
Well, I have a question.
Go ahead, Brandy. It's nice to hear from you. Hanukkah Sameach.
Chag Sameach. If the Parsha is saying that we don't have free choice, but we do have free choice, then how much free choice do we actually have?
Anybody want to help answer Brandy's question?
The choice to have free choice.
That's good.
No, actually, it's not complete. But it's a good try.
But I felt the way she asked the question, it was a, you know, it's a runaround circle. I don't know how to explain it, but
there is only one aspect of free choice.
Okay.
You have the free choice to control your reactions. Once you've done that, you move to a different movie. But once you're in the new theater, the new movie theater, using the metaphor of the multiplex cinemas, once you're in the new theater, there's no free choice. The movie's been written, and you're playing out that movie. You're watching it as it goes by. You're participating in the movie as the actor. It was written by Hashem. But the choice you have, the one free choice you have, is to control your reactions. If you choose not to control your reactions, then you're still playing in that same movie that you've been playing in yesterday, the day before, etc. Every time you exercise binding by striking and you control your reactions, you move to a different movie. You grow spiritually. And that's what the new movie metaphorically represents. I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, that's okay. I was just meditating on thinking on some things when I lit my candles. And I was thinking of Adam and Eve in the garden. And how they had light bodies. And we know that oil begins with, you know, it's olive bomb, And then their bodies became skin after they ate from the tree of knowledge. So the olive changed, it sounds, it spells the same except for the first letter. White or moved, in other words, he lost the olive of Elki or Adonai. And it became an iron, and then made skin, because that's, even though it sounds the same, they're homonyms, they're both pronounced or, but he went from light to skin. And of course, that, you know, they didn't heed the mitzvot. But would that be the same as what we've been getting with separating the olive and the other classes that we've had the last week from Elohim and I'm trying to say.
Yes, I can answer the question or enhance it. The Hebrew word for light is or, aleph. Vav Resh, or Aleph Yud Resh. The Hebrew word for skin, human skin, is Ayin, Vav or Yud Resh. So when the sin took place, the skin of Adam and Chava changed from skin of light to be skin that we know today. And the only parts of that skin that didn't change were the fingernails and the toenails.
Right.
And those parts of the body, that part of the skin is translucent, which meant that Adam had his internal energy, his internal light, and he was shining it through his skin. He was also being fed through his skin. He didn't need a digestive system. That also changed. But now the question that Hannah is trying to cope with is the name of God that is used in creation is Elohim. And that can be parsed into two words, Ela, meaning Aleph Lamed He, and then Yam, Yud Mem. The metaphorical war between good and evil, between Satan and Hashem, and we know that it's a metaphorical war, it's not a physical war, is over the letters of the name Elohim. When Satan captures the Yam, the sea, all we have left is the name of God, Ela, Aleph Lamed He. That's what Hannah is trying to understand, Because what was the movie before the sin of Adam? It was the movie that we call After Mashiach. It was the movie that if Adam was created on Friday, the sixth day of creation, he would have had the one Shabbat, and then he would have returned to the endless world, to the end soul. And that process would have been exactly 25 hours. Or no, it would have been like 30 hours, I'm sorry. Because he was created at 6 a.m. and he would have gone through Shabbat. So he would have gone through 36 hours, 37 hours. And he, meaning all of us, would have returned to the endless world. But he didn't control his reactions. Adam was given a bite of the apple, the bite of the tree by Chava, the bite of the fruit of the tree of knowledge, good and evil. And he loved it. It was a tremendous taste. It was tremendous pleasure. And since he now knew what that taste was and what that pleasure was felt like, that's what makes it hard, is the second bite. That's where you need to control yourself. You need to know what pleasure is. What do you feel when you are receiving pleasure? And it's after that that you have to stop your reaction. It's easy to say, I don't know what this fruit of the tree of knowledge, good and evil, is. And I've been told not to do it, so I'm not going to do it. That's easy, because you don't know what that pleasure is. But saying no to the pleasure after you know what it is. So what happened is the movie that was playing, which would have been at the end of Shabbat, we all would have returned to the endless world. That movie was dropped. The sin created a different movie. Or it actually was, that movie was in potential, and Adam and Chava moved into that movie. That movie included the expelling from the Garden of Eden. That movie included the chaos that we've all lived through lifetime after lifetime. And we, each of us, play that out many times each day because we're given the opportunity. We know what the pleasure is, but we choose not to control that. We choose not to utilize binding by striking. And so we fall further and further into a different movie that is more chaotic. But if we do exercise that free will to stop our reactions, we move up the scale of movies. We move into a movie that has a greater amount of pleasure from Hashem. We move closer to Hashem and we grow spiritually back. And what is this world of tikkun, our physical world as it exists now? It's striving to return to the level of Adam before the sin. I hope that answered your question, Chava.
Yes, it did. I'll tell you why what happened. When I was doing the meditation, I had set the clock. And it's a little wind-up clock, so it's not real accurate. When I tried to set it so that it would come off about 6:25, you know, so that I'd be ready for the class.
Right.
But it went off at 6:20 when I looked up. But that was the point, you know, where I couldn't finish to ask you the question. I just wanted, you know, but I was to the point where was he separating the name
yes.
that began with the Aleph, you know, and it kind of like startled me. It was like kind of waking up from a dream. So that's why I was halfway with my question. So thank you.
Yes.
And I'm glad you brought it into the idea of what we were saying about mining by striking. My question, I remember as you began to talk, was, and that's why we get into the chaos and we keep repeating the same chaos. That was kind of part of my question.
When people are in the movie, they get set and comfortable with their chaos. That,
mm-hmm.
See, at this point, you know, 3,400 years after the giving of the Torah, people think that, you know, this is the way the world is, that it's supposed to be chaotic. And one of the major aspects of the scanning and the reading of the Aramaic is to break out of that mindset that chaos is the way the world is supposed to be. It's not. But we you know, in from the time you were born in this lifetime until today, how do you see that there is a life without chaos? If you look around, everybody has chaos, and everybody is comfortable with their chaos. And what do I mean by comfortable with chaos? You expect it to be chaotic. Because people don't know to use binding by striking. But once you learn binding by striking and you start to use it, you see the difference. By the same token, you're still dealing with the concept of the second bite. So that the pleasure that you receive, the greater the pleasure, the harder it is to utilize binding by striking. You can use as an example porn.
It's also
people
as simple as
pleasure.
Those wonderful
people.
Chocolate. Oh, I'm sorry, I thought you were finished.
Well, people receive pleasure watching porn, but if you've ever experienced the intimacy within a marriage, there's no comparison to the pleasure. But still, many people continue to watch porn. And they're never given, in the movie that they're in, because they watch porn, they're never given the opportunity to really enjoy the true pleasure of marital intimacy within the frame of a holy union, of a marriage put under a chuppah. They may experience it on the physical level, but they're not receiving it on the spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Fama.
Well, my example is a little, it's quite lower than yours. I have this dish of the dark chocolate bowl of candy kisses, you know, wrapped with the pretty purple foil paper.
Right.
And, you know, it's easy to just, you tell yourself you're just going to take one because it is good for you. They, you know, it is said that dark chocolate is good for you. And not too long ago, a couple of weeks ago, that was how we brought Tony's blood pressure down at 2 o'clock in the morning, that we couldn't do anything else. And I looked online and saw that it was, so I gave him several bites. And it's very tempting for that second bite. You know, you'd like to take, at least for myself, I try to do one a day. But it's so tempting to pick that second one or even third one. You know? So my little purple bowl of dark chocolate candy kisses wrapped with purple foil are my binding by striking practice every day.
It's easy to say, I'm going to go on a diet, and you start out with the best of intentions. And if you don't bring in the crap, excuse my expression, into your house, there's nothing to nosh on, nothing to nibble on that's bad for you. No problem.
Mm-hmm.
But all of a sudden, you know, that fruit that was so good yesterday doesn't look so appetizing today. Let's run out and get a bag of popcorn or a bag of potato chips. Let's go get in the old days, there was Hostess donuts, Hostess cupcakes. So it's all related to the same system. What is the movie you're in? And what does Hashem do? Is take every instant, he takes all the movies that everybody has earned by using binding, by striking, and he puts them together in a way that follows the natural law. And that's the idea of Hashem recreates the world every instant. Because every instant, you and everybody else had a chance to use binding by striking and change movies. So the world has to be recreated based on the movies that you've chosen. And as I describe this, every time I describe this, every time I think about this, it just overwhelms me with awesomeness of this creation. Should I go on to verse 5?
If you have time.
Well, we'll see. Ata noach v'tiken kardumin u'tzire v'alma u'vatar v'yesht min hayayin v'yishkar v'yitgal batoch achalo atu b'nei alma v'chavu kameya v'kutsha berichu. The istalaku kelin diara kamil kadmin vahawo kaimayad piata Abraham. When Noah appeared in the world, he prepared spades and hoes, which means that he prepared tools to till the ground. Thus it is written of him, this one shall comfort us from our work and the toil of our hands. He shall give us tools so that we may be freed from production, using our bare hands for which we have been destined until now. Afterwards, however, he drank of the wine and was drunk, and he was uncovered within his tent. And later the people of the world sinned before the Holy One, blessed be he. And the powers of the earth disappeared again. Thus all the improvements of Noah were lost, and so it remained until Abraham appeared. My commentary. What role does technology play in the history of the world? What role and place in the process of creation does technology play? The earth, which is Malchut, lost its powers of manifestation twice in the process of creation. Or is Noah not part of the process? How does this apply to the process of your life? How does it apply to how you live with technology? Does Noah mean hidden wisdom, Chachma Nestar? Or does it mean an aspect of creation called comfort? Are they different? this is something to contemplate. Questions, comments, thoughts? I guess I should explain the concept of a plow is technology. Because
okay.
If you don't have a plow, you don't have a horse to pull it, then how do you till the earth? How do you make it easier to put seeds in the ground and watch the plants grow? So the plow and the hose represent tools, and tools represent technology. Now, today we would say technology is the computers, it's the cell phones. But in every manufacturing process, the making of clothes, you have a sewing machine. All of these things are technology.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking more in the lines of knowing that Noah was, what, the 10th generation, and Adam failed, and then now Noah failed. Maybe that's why we associate comfort with him, because of what he did with preparing the tools for the ground, and don't really think of it as hidden wisdom. But maybe he had his hidden wisdom and he lost it.
Well, he brought the hoe and he brought the plow, but then afterwards he sinned with the wine.
Yeah.
But we didn't lose the hoe or the plow, did we?
No.
Once technology comes into the world, it has dual aspects. It has goodness and it has not goodness.
Which is really an aspect of everything in creation. Everything
correct.
In creation. Yeah.
Technology can be utilized by evil people or it can be utilized by good people. The most easily understood aspect of that is atomic energy. Atomic energy bombs are so powerful that an evil person could control all of humanity if no one else had that technology. But we live in a world where that technology was spread, and it still continues to be spread. Every country in the world either has the technology or wants the technology and accepts authority by other countries in order to protect them from the countries that do have the technology. Now, that's a whole different way of looking at our world order, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And what does it mean that Mashiach will come? How will Mashiach handle the technology? How will he change people so that there is no more evil people using technology? And that's where all the different prophecies come into play.
Well, I don't know if this is just a crazy thought. I'm not going to say I fear it, but it's come to my mind that, you know, so many people are doing their DNA test and the capability of mixing humans with, you know, brain with technology, in other words, human DNA and a computer, and creating a new species.
There are scientific papers that are talking about how that they know that that's being developed and they're starting to use it. But what are they using it for right now? To develop stronger, physical, stronger people, smarter people, more efficient warriors.
Right. I know that that's where I basically saw some of it, but I've also seen that the television programs in the last, let's say, 5 years, like the one Humans and some of the other programs that only lasted 1 or 2 seasons, but they were showing the newest inventions, with technology, and now they're actually there. In other words, you know how that for a while they were saying Amazon could deliver your packages to your door, and the drone. Or a drone, they showed in one, a drone going after someone to kill that person, and it wouldn't stop until it got to that person. Or in the police station, the computer screens, they just would, it looked like they would just touch the wall and the screens would come down. The electronic cars with no driver, you know, the Uber bit. All of those were on TV 5 or 6 years ago before we actually saw them today, or let's say in the last year or so.
Correct.
I just have been suspicious of people doing their DNA. I don't think you ought to have your DNA exposed to the world. I don't know what they'll do with it.
All I can tell you is that I have not had my DNA tested. I don't know what it says. My daughters have. So that's a choice I make.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not a choice. Once you have the knowledge, what will you do with it? I have the Cohen gene. I must be a Cohen. Except your father didn't tell you that you're a Cohen. That's just one example. There's much that has to be considered and thought of as technology is introduced to the world. And a lot of laws and regulations need to be thought through and implemented. But at the same time, every time there's a new law, there's a new technology, people who don't understand will abuse it. But have no fear, Mashiach is here. And with that, we're out of time.
Okay.
I hope you'll have some questions tonight at the 7 o'clock class.
Okay, I got Shalom. One.
Hold on to it. I'll wait for it.
Okay. Shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom. Shalom. Thank you.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom.